learning aid, or most of the time it's just for me to kind of help me. Josh, if you got your stopwatch, if you'll set it on 90 minutes, and when I get to 90 minutes, give me a sign and I'll shut up. Oh, yeah, give me a signal at 45. I brought my hard hat today because we're going to be talking a little bit about building. And my eyes are going to start leaking. I can't help that, but anyway. I don't have any medication for it. But anyway, I brought my hard hat. We're going to be talking about building today. And a hard hat's kind of appropriate because we use hard hats in construction a lot. And I just realized something. Tuesday of this week will be 40 years of me working in construction. That's a long time. A lot of jobs you can retire at 20. I should have took one of them jobs. But anyway, you know, tell you a little story, and I don't know if it's true or not, but it's been going around in construction circles for a long time, and what the story's about is there was a library that was built, and once they got the library built, it started sinking because the architect didn't figure in the weight of the books. That's okay. I would have wore that, but being in the Army, about wearing a hat inside, I'd be afraid Sergeant Major would come and make me do push-ups, so I'm not going to wear the hard hat in here. But anyway, that story about the library, I've heard it as true for many years, and I don't know if it really is or not, but it really stresses the importance of paying attention to detail when we're building stuff. And this morning, we are going to be in Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49, and we're going to be turning a few other places, and you'll have to bear with me a little bit, because a lot of times when I speak, I'll write all the verses down to where I don't have to look them up, so I'm going to have to look them up a little bit. But anyway, that's what we're going to be at. It's a firm foundation. We're going to be Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. Before we start, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, praising you for who you are. God, you are so great and so wonderful. And Lord, we think about the gift of salvation and the love and mercy and grace that you've shown on the cross that we could have life. And God, we're so thankful for that. And Lord, besides that, if that had been the only thing you'd ever done, we could have praised you for eternity because, Lord, you provided a way that we could spend eternity with you. But Lord, you've blessed us in so many other ways. You've given us the freedom in this country to come and worship you. God, you've gave us this wonderful body of believers that we can come and we can grow and we can share in. God, you've answered so many prayers. Just this morning, just hearing the answer prayers of little Grayson, that we've been praying for him and how good he's doing. God, you're so wonderful and so good and so gracious. Lord, help us to always keep our eyes on you. And Lord, this morning as I come to share these words, Lord, let it be your words. And remove me from the equation. God, because if it's me, it's just be a big mess. But God, through you, you can use anything and anybody. And God, I pray that it be your words and not mine. Open our hearts and minds that we'll all learn something today and maybe be challenged to be a better disciple of yours and live closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right here in Luke chapter 46, in these verses, 46, chapter 6, verses 46 through 49, it's really coming to the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. And Christ is giving a warning for what happens if our lives are not built on a firm foundation. So I'm going to read here. I missed one of the things about speaking up here versus teaching Sunday school. People are lots better readers than I am. And in Sunday school, I can make them read. So, and I don't have to. But anyway, we'll get through it. Verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I'll show you what it's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, it immediately fell, and the ruin of the house was great. It's interesting here, end of the Sermon of the Mount, verse 46, he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? You know, anytime in Scripture where we see Jesus saying, Lord, Lord, there's times he said, Moses, Moses. It's really a great emphasis on that. He's, you know, why you call me Lord, Lord, and, you know, but they're not following him. You know, they're not doing what he said. And, you know, this is the problem with people in our churches forever, people making a profession of faith, and it's not a true profession of faith. You know, I've heard so many times people say, ask Jesus in your heart. Well, the premise of that is okay to a sense, ask Jesus into your heart. But no, the first word of the gospel is repent. It's more than that, just asking Jesus to your heart. Let's go to Matthew a minute. Matthew gives an account of this. But right before Matthew's account of this same parable is really... Matthew, not Mark. If I got to reading that, we'd all be confused. Okay, Matthew 7. And this right here, I'm going to read verses 21 through 23. And this is probably the scariest verses in Scripture that I know of. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Man, that's some tough stuff there. And that's where Matthew writes this right before this parable that we're talking about today. And he says, you know, many's going to come and say, Lord, Lord, which means that they're claiming a deep relationship and not a passive relationship. They're claiming a deep, personal, affectionate relationship with God. You know, he says, did we not prophesy in your name? And we cast out demons. We did mighty works. I was a preacher. I was a deacon. I was a committee member. I was a tither. All the same things that these people are claiming on that day. And Jesus declares, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Basically, he's telling you a bunch of lawless, disobedient church members, get away from me. I don't know you. Man, that's tough stuff. That is tough stuff. The question is, not if we know Jesus or if we know about Jesus. But the question is, does he know you? Somebody can say amen. You know, I'm not a preacher. I'm just giving a message. But if you feel like saying amen and you smile real big, that helps me not be nervous. And I need all the help I can get. But, you know, the thing about it is, do we know about Jesus or does he know us? That's the important thing. You know, they'd honored Jesus with their lips, but their hearts were really far from him. You know, Matthew here even here. Let's go back to verse 21 again. In Matthew chapter 7, he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but it's the one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven." So what's it telling us the people that's going to be in heaven? The people that do the will of the Father. It's a heart knowledge, not a head knowledge. You know, we've talked about that a lot. You talk to people and you share the gospel with people or whatever, and they'll say, "I know Jesus, I know that." I've shared the gospel with people, and to be honest with you, they knew enough about it, they could share it themselves. They knew all the right words, but there's nothing in their heart. They never repented. They knew the right words. Let's go back to Luke again. We'll be in Luke for a little bit. Like I say, you just have to... Back to number 46. You know, Luke asked his question. He said, "Why you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I tell you?" You don't do what I do, is what he actually said. Why do you do that? When you say Lord, Lord, you really should be saying that you are my authority. When you say Lord, Lord, you're saying I submit to your kingship. When you say Lord, Lord, you're acknowledging that you are sovereign over me. When you say Lord, Lord, you're saying whatever you command me to do, I'm under obligation to do. But he's saying here, why do you do that? You don't do what I tell you. You know, John chapter 14, verse 15 says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And I'm not talking about a works-based salvation at all. We'll get to that in a minute. And that's not even extra credit. But we'll get to that in a minute. Okay. Verse 47 and 48. "Whoever comes to me and hears my word and does them, I will show you what he's like." So he's telling them here, he says, the people that comes and he hears and obeys him. And he's telling us that the obedient man is like a man that builds on a firm foundation. You know, you got to remember something. When they're talking about building, you know, they're in the middle of a desert. And, you know, around here, when we do a foundation and dig deep, Terry, what we usually dig, about 2 foot deep or three? Here we can hit solid ground 2 or 3 feet deep because we've got good solid rake dirt. But in the desert, it's sand. And it's a sandy environment. So for a foundation, they've got to do stuff different over there. They've got to dig really deep and build on rock. You know, I remember when we were in the desert and... You know, they don't have it fixed to where they handle water, but Harry Keith can attest that when it did rain, it was a mess. It was a stinking mess. And if you look at the news here last week in Dubai, where they had a flood there with the sand, it was a mess. I mean, the water goes in. And one of the things, too, I'm going to tell one little story. One of the things that... during Desert Storm, when the ground war started, it had already rained. It rained around Christmas, and this was up in about February. And it wasn't supposed to rain anymore for another year, but it came the awfulest gully washer. I mean, and we weren't supposed to have no rain this time of year. Awfulest gully washer you ever seen in your life. I mean, it was like one of these East Tennessee frog chokers we got in the desert. Louis laughing because... he's not here living, so we get a lot of rain. It comes down here. But talk to the guys in the Marines and whatever, and that was the hand of God. Because if you've got a mine that Iraq had planted in the sand, and the rain came, it washed it off, and they said they just rode, and they could look and see every one of them. And that was just the hand of God protecting our troops. So, you know, when Jesus is telling them here that you've got to dig deep to build on a solid rock, these people understood this. Because in that environment, in the sand, they had to dig deep and they had to build on something solid to do this, the foundation. You know, and if you build on a solid foundation, when the water comes, it's strong enough to withstand the storm. Okay, that's the first house. Second house. Says the man builds. All right. But the one who hears and does not do them, the one who hears the word and doesn't obey it, is like the man who builds a house on the ground without a foundation. You know, he builds this house without a foundation on the sand. And you know, this house could have looked beautiful. It could have been a mansion. I mean, it could have been in Better Homes and Gardens. It could have been on the Tour of Homes. You know, it could have been on, who was that guy that used to go around to the rich people's houses and do a TV show on it? He had a British accent. Robin Leach. This house could look like Robin Leach is coming on his television show. You can tell how old we are. But anyway, I'm not saying you're old. But there was a television show about that. You know, it could have been a mansion. It could have looked strong, and it could have been beautiful for a season. But it didn't have a foundation. You know what's going to happen when the rain comes? It's gone. It says, when the stream broke against it immediately, it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. So two kinds of houses. One's built on a good foundation, and one's built on the sand. All right. Hopefully this won't fall this time. We're going to get back to building. We'll put on our hard hats. We're going to get back to building, the rock and the foundation. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. And read verses 13 through 18. I'll give you a second to get there. Now, when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who are these that the people say that the Son of Man is? And they say, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter asked him, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So this right here is telling us that Jesus is the rock. The fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that's the rock that we build on. Jesus Christ is the rock. That's what we build on. What we build on is the fact that Jesus is the Christ. He came. He was the Messiah. He came and lived a perfect life. And he was sacrificed on the cross and rose again. That by repenting of our sins and following him and putting our trust in him, we can have eternal life. That's the rock. When it says Christ is the rock. Or what did it say there a minute? I didn't. I'm going to read that again. I've got to find it here. That's one. All right. Bear with me a minute. Okay, when Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what that means. That's the plan of salvation. That's what the rock we build on. Okay, so we know what the rock is. The rock is Jesus dying on the cross that we can have salvation. Okay, that's the rock. Now we've got to figure out what the foundation is. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 19 through 22. If I ever have to do this again, I'm going to write everything down. I'm having a terrible time. If I'd had some of that little sticky stuff, here we go. Bear with me here a little bit. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. He says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household, built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by his Spirit." So here he's saying that the foundation is the apostles and the prophet. What does he mean by that? He means the teaching of the apostles and the prophet is the foundation, the Word of God, what they taught. And Jesus here is the cornerstone, and that's the reference for everything that's built. Now we call it a benchmark. Back years ago, they used it as cornerstone. A benchmark is the kind of name we do now. A benchmark, when you're building something, you set up something, and that's what you take every measurement from. You get that one point that's right, and you've got that benchmark. It's on your plans, and if it says you go 72 feet, 9 1/4 inches this way, and turn, everything comes back and is measured by the benchmark, which in olden days, it was the cornerstone. So Jesus, everything comes back to him and points back to him. He's the rock, he's the cornerstone of what everything points back to. But here the foundation is of the apostles and the prophets. But what they're talking about here is the teaching of the prophets and apostles. So if we take what the teaching of the prophets are and of the apostles, what's that? The Word of God. That's our foundation. Okay. Am I on the right track there? Okay. All right. So if Jesus is the rock and the cornerstone and the foundation is the Word of God, what does that look like in our lives? All right. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. We're going to go back to the early church, the First Baptist Church in Jerusalem. It wasn't First Baptist. It was the first, but I don't know that they called it First Baptist. They don't have the best connotation, maybe, but anyway, it was the First Baptist Church in Jerusalem. All right. You get me tickled. I pass up. I went all the way back to Matthew. And Acts is right there next to Romans. Okay, we're going to see what this looks like in the church. Acts chapter 2. This is at the first church here. "And they devoted themselves to..." Now this is right after they had the preaching and 3,000 people got saved. Okay? This is what they're doing right after that. "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." What were they doing? Studying God's Word. "They continued steadfastly." King James says steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. What does steadfastly mean? They were determined. They were devout. They were devout with the apostles' doctrine and the fellowship. They were growing in their faith. You know, this, the Word of God shows us how to be obedient. The foundation, the Word of God, the teaching of the apostles and the prophet, which is the Word of God. That's what teaches us to be obedient. It teaches us how to withstand the storm. How are we going to withstand storms of life if we don't have the Word of God in our life? How are we going to do that? Now, the thing is, when we talk about obedience, I'm no way whatsoever talking about a works-based religion at all. And don't get that, because it's all by grace. By grace we're saved through faith in Christ. But here at the end, let me make sure I word this right. here at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, here he's giving this illustration of the being built on two houses. Are we built on the firm foundation or are we built on the sand? You know, and really, I think what this is, it's really a test, is our fruit obedience. It's one of the fruits of our life, obedience to the Word. I think that's what this whole thing about the story about the two foundations, the two houses, is one of our fruit, obedience. You know, the obedience, it's not work-based, but it's basically saying if we are a true believer in Christ, we are going to be obedient. Because obedience is a fruit of salvation. Everybody with me? Did I say that right? I know sometimes in my head it sounds one way, and when it comes out, I don't know if it comes out the right way or not. I just got it. Okay. Do what? Okay, we're with you. All right. So, to sum this up, I always like to have a summary of things that this meant to me, things to challenge me. So here they are. And these are in the form of a question, some of them are. Number one, what are we building our life on? Are we building it on the solid rock and the firm foundation of the Word of God? Are we building it on Jesus and His Word? Are we submitting to Him? Are we being obedient? Or are we just lip service? You know, a lot of times, you can do surveys and stuff, and I think it's like 90% of the people say they believe in God. But we can look in society, and they live lives that there is no God. You know, so we need to look at our life. We need to look like, am I really on a firm foundation, or am I just like a lost person? Am I lawless? You know, he calls these people that didn't do what he said lawless. You know, because they were doing what they wanted to. We live our life like there's no God. Lawless. No fear of God. We don't care what comes out of our mouth. We don't keep our word. We don't live any different than the lost. What's wrong with our foundation? That's the way we live. If y'all want to come up? That wasn't 90 minutes, I know. But anyway, that's okay. Hopefully, you all were as challenged as I was preparing this. Y'all want to stand? Well, they ain't quite ready yet.